invite our speaker to come up. Thank you.
Thanks, Leo. Yeah, so I know I have to introduce myself, but Leo, I promise I did not coordinate this with Leo before. His verse that he read is right on the theme that we're going to talk about today. So, because we're going to be talking about fear and courage. So Pastor Chuck asked me to do this a few weeks ago, and I said, yes, I have to warn you all, it's my first sermon. It's not my first speech, but it's my first sermon, so be merciful. Now, Graham said I should be shooting for at least 90 minutes of sermon, so I've cut it down to that. Just kidding. So my name's Michael Ward, and that's my wife, Leonor, who led the cheer. We attended here from 2006 to 2009, and then my dear friend Ken and others in the church sent Leonor and I out on what we felt was our mission field into the Royal Canadian Air Force. I had been in the Air Force for 20 years before that. I served for another 10 or 12 years, and now my wife and I have retired from that, and we're settled here in Canada, and we're back home here at West Ottawa, which is great. And so the RCF and the Air Force will be a little bit featured in this. But before we jump in, I want to pray. So Father, I feel, Lord, that this message that you've given on my heart for like the last 10 years, I believe, is for someone here today, or many people here today, and I pray that you will anoint my tongue, you will anoint this message, and it will land in the right place at the right time. Thank you, Lord. So why do I want to talk about fear and courage? Like I said, I've been thinking about this for about 10 years. This is an intensely personal message for me, so I hope you don't mind that I'm going to share some personal things. It's an area where I've had victory, but I continue to struggle. Fear and courage are a big deal to God. If you look at the number of times that fear and courage are mentioned, he talks about do not be afraid at least 140 times in the NIV. And courage appears at least 30 times. God calls us to overcome fear and to be courageous, right? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. And I think we all know that verse, and we all can sort of relate to that. But I want to unpack a little bit about how these verses have played in my life, and I'm hoping that it will help some of you. I have a feeling that this is going to speak to some of the young men in the audience. So perk up your ears. What I'm going to do first is start by exploring what we normally consider fear and courage. So first we're going to start with fear. When I say fear, I bet this is the kind of thing that most of you think about, right? Fear is an intensely practical thing sometimes, right? It's good in many ways. It's part of the plan of God that we are afraid of things, some things. Stops us from falling off tall buildings. Stops us from burning ourselves. It stops us from getting hit by buses, right? Most importantly, it stops us from getting eaten by dinosaurs. Now, just a little aside, as before we dive in, I want to talk about the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is something different, right? Fear of the Lord, that word fear is kind of a bad or a difficult, awkward translation from the original. In Hebrew, it's yirach, which means awe or reverence or worship. That's what the fear of the Lord is. It is the beginning of wisdom. We need to hold him in awe and revere him and worship him. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking more about this kind of running away from dinosaurs fear. So now that we've unpacked fear, I'm going to talk a little bit about courage. And I bet you that most people, when you talk about courage, you think about a dude like this, right? The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hands, and not one of them will be able to withstand you." Or if you don't like Joshua, might be like this story of Deborah and Jael. So this is a courageous servant of God, Deborah. She was a woman who was a judge over Israel. And when they were facing, when the Israelites were facing Jabin, who was the king of Canaan, all the men were scared. If you read this story, they talk about 900 chariots fitted with iron. And that'll do that. That'll make you scared of the bad guys. So Deborah heard a word from the Lord, and he summoned Barak and told him to go up against Jabin's commander, Sisera. But he wimped out. And he said, he wimped out in the eyes of the Lord to some degree. He said, I'll only go if you come with me. So he was not courageous in the way that the Lord wanted him to be. So for this, through Deborah, he said to Barak, said that he would lose the honor of killing the enemy of the Lord, Sisera, and that Sisera would be killed by the hand of a woman. So then we come to another courageous woman, Jael. So the Israelites met the Canaanites on the field of battle. They routed them. The Lord gave them victory. And Sisera ran away. And he looked for a place to hide. So he came to a tent. And in the tent was a woman named Jael. Jael was a woman who listened to the Lord. She invited him in, gave him some milk, said, please lie down. You've had a hard battle. Maybe you want to have a nap. So he went to sleep. She covered him with a blanket and then drove a tent peg through his temple, right? So Sisera was delivered into the hands of a woman. So you can decide if that's Deborah or if it's Jael in the picture. But those are two common things. I think sort of two common images of what fear and courage is. Now I'm going to unpack a little bit. I'm going to tell you a couple stories about fear and courage from my own experience in the modern day. So this is a picture of me and my crew in Goose Bay, Labrador. I'm not going to talk about me. I was a helicopter pilot in the Air Force. I want to talk about the three guys in orange in the middle. Those guys are search and rescue technicians. And the job of the search and rescue technician is to jump out of an airplane into the woods or into the ocean or into wherever to save people. And that's their entire job. Those guys are courageous. Amen. So this day, we were taking them up on this particular day. It's a nice story. They were practicing parachuting, but the guy in the middle, after he came down in his parachute, after jumping out of the airplane, he knelt down and he proposed to his girlfriend who was sitting on the ramp and gave her a ring, and it was very nice. So that's a cool day, I remember that. But a few months later, these guys were called out on a Friday night because there was a boat with 10 people on it sinking just offshore in the middle of the night with no moon, high winds, and they got the call to rescue them. So these guys went down on a hoist, dangling on the end of a wire, into the boat, hooked up 10 people. They did it 10 times, down from the helicopter, up again, and they rescued 10 people in the middle of the night. And I remember meeting them after they came back, and they were just pumped, right? They had, this was their whole meaning of their life, and they overcame their fear, and they displayed courage, and they saved people. Sartex are pretty amazing. So this is another story about fear and courage. This is my Afghanistan story. So I deployed to Afghanistan with the Royal Canadian Air Force. We flew those kind of helicopters, which are very different from the ones I flew before. And so we had to learn this new helicopter in a short period of time. It was a new mission. We were flying in bad guy land to go get bad guys. It was a bizarre place, Afghanistan, around Kandahar. We did it mostly at night, and we were working with the special forces. So we, as a group, had to conquer many fears to be able to do this. We had to strap on our courage. I prayed to God for the courage, because I was the boss, so I couldn't look scared. I think sometimes I did, but it took courage from everyone involved, because this was a place filled with fear. This was a place filled with spiritual oppression. Now, that's the stuff, like the last bunch of stories is the stuff I think that most of us, especially the young men, think fear and courage are, and sort of are the archetypes of it. But to my mind, that's all the easy stuff. And it's the obvious stuff. It's the stuff we all understand and we're taught by the culture. We pick it up everywhere. I mean, how many Marvel movies are there when the hero has to overcome fear, strap on courage, and then go out to save the day? Most of the Old Testament stories are like that too. And it's not wrong. I'm not saying these are wrong. I'm not saying they're mistaken. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. But it's really not enough. I think we have to unpack the role of fear and courage in our life more deeply. There's a much deeper closer and personal dimension to fear and courage that I want to scratch on now and explore. Because really, all the stuff that I talked about before is not nearly the scariest thing that I ever had to do. The scariest thing I ever had to do was to be courageous enough to overcome the fear that's involved in getting really close to my wife, and the courage to express who I really was to her. So I'm going to talk about my wife, but it's not just this context for all of us. This can apply to any close relationship, right? To your kids, to your family, to your friends, and even to God, right? We need to overcome the fears that have been baked into us to get close to the Lord and to get close to those people who we love. Fear is the biggest blocker that there is to true intimacy and love with people. This is a key verse. This is the key verse for this message, really. There is no fear in love. Perfect love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And this is the key. You know, if you have fears that you don't want to touch, if you have fears that are really baked in, oftentimes it's like we're worried that if we actually touch these fears, we'll be punished. Something bad is going to happen. So this is a warning, and it's a guide, and it's all kinds of things. The warning is that the one who fears is not made perfect in love. And the Lord wants us to love and be loved perfectly. So I think we need to be able to get into the habit of seeing, recognizing, and rejecting those fears. But some of you are probably thinking in your mind, yeah, but I'm not really afraid of my wife, right? I've got that nailed. See, the old guys are laughing, right? Because they know how untrue that is, which is funny. But fear really, if fear can present as other things. It can present in our life as anger. It can present in our life as insecurity. It can present in our life as resentment, or it could present as control, or any number of other things. Often, though, those feelings are a cover for anger. And they're all rooted in lies, or many of them are rooted in lies. Because fears, and these fears that we hold, are related to the fear of punishment. So the devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in the devil. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And I believe that if we don't face our fears and we don't apply the truth of God, then the devil wins. So the next few slides are going to lead us through. It's the process that I went through to address them. So this is intensely personal and private, and I invite you to participate based on how you feel led, and how you feel safe. I'm not going to be asking for hands or answers in public. So I'd ask us to reflect on this. What lies have you believed that make you afraid? So the lies can be things like, I'm not good enough. I'm not one of the cool kids. It's amazing how long that one can last, from like grade 6 onwards, right? Once people really get to know me, they'll run away. I had my stepson tell me that. Mike, when you really get to know us, you're going to leave. I'm not worthy of being loved. I've made too many mistakes in my life for God to really love me. If I get close to someone, I'll get hurt. So let's not do that. Could be fear of poverty, fear of lack, all sorts of things. So I'm going to pause here. I invite you to ask the Lord to reveal to you any of the lies you may have believed that have produced fears in you, that drive you away from perfect love, that are the lies of the devil. Now, I learned to recognize these as kind of those things I really didn't want to think about. And if you're, you know, it's quiet, it's late at night, and you're kind of thinking about things, you go, oh, I don't want to think about that. And you skirt your way around that. You never deal with it. You never scratch on that. So I'm going to pray, and we'll take a few minutes. And maybe if you scratch on things and things come to mind, like note them down in your heart or in a book or something like that for prayer for later. So, Lord, we know that this is a safe place. We know, Lord, that there is no judgment in you, that we can be ourselves in you. So I ask, Father, that your Spirit will be here actively, and as people reflect and pray, that you will reveal to them the lies. You will reveal to them those things that they believe that they should not have believed, that are the lies of the devil. Thank you, God. Okay, friends. So now ask God to reveal to you what the truth is. These are all truths that you can find in the Bible about who you really are. And the truth of the Lord is perfect, and the truth of the Lord is eternal. And so those lies that you might have believed, you need to replace with the truth that comes from God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am chosen. I am cleansed from the stupid things I did when I was younger, from the sins that I have made, the mistakes that I've made along the way. I am cleansed. I am bold and confident in God. I am a new creation. I am not condemned. I am perfect and complete. Each one of you, these truths apply to you. And I am forgiven of my sins. Hallelujah. So the next step is to choose to trust in God. Choose to trust in Him because you know that He loves you perfectly. The psalmist says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, and I am not afraid. Now this may take more than once, and not because of God. God can move sovereignly and He could sort everything out all at once, and I know that, and I'm confident in it. But more this is because it's the weakness of our flesh that we might not actually accept this truth right away. It took me more than once, and it's a process. And this is hard. This is the hardest work I've ever had to do, to face the lies, to face the lies that the devil planted in me through the words of other kids, through careless words of parents, through whatever, and really stand in the victory of who God made me to be. So it's a process and it's hard, but it's a process that produces great joy and great peace. And the truth of the Lord has brought deep peace and tranquility to me, into my marriage, and into my family. And I think this all comes back to 1 John 4 and 18. For there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with the punishment. Punishment, the fear of punishment comes from the devil, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. I don't know why, but you know, I think I need to talk to the young married guys, young like me, young and younger. You know, we are trained as men to be strong and courageous, like the dude with the shield, right? And do all of those things. That's what we're trained to do. That's what the culture says we should do. That's the archetype and the image of what being strong and courageous is. But so I invite you in your life, in your relationships, to make sure that you do that, because that's all good stuff. But to go deeper and to be vulnerable enough with yourself, and then with your spouse or whoever's close to you, your kids, your parents, friends. If you're able to do that, if you can screw the courage on to do that and to admit those things, the freedom and the liberty and the joy of God is amazing on the other side. So be strong and courageous. Drive out fear in the big stuff, but also in the small stuff, especially in the small stuff. So Leo thought she would know how to lead us in prayer corporately now. Is that still the case? She says yes. So I'm going to ask my wife to come up and lead us in prayer. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for inviting me to speak with you, and I hope that it has landed on your hearts.
I just thought that we offer, if any one of you wants to come here, and if any one of the older guys wants to come here to pray for the young ones, yeah, we can do that. Just this is a very special time. And what Michael says is very true. We got very closer as a couple, and in that intimacy, in that increased intimacy, is a form of worship to the Lord. And because He made a marriage, He created marriage, but we also are more able to affect things around us. So whoever wants to be prayed for, we will be here, and that's all we can offer at this time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the message. Father, I pray to bless these beautiful couples, Father. I pray that you guide them, Father. You lead them, Father, in the path that where you want them to go, Father. And thank you, Father, for this beautiful message from through him, Father. Thank you for encouraging him to share this. So we can be all encouraged, Father, so we can all learn from that. And I pray your blessing over them, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Come and ask for prayer. That's what the body is. We pray for each other. We encourage each other. We lift each other up. Right? Amen? So don't let the fear stop you from going to pray. Please. But it's up to you and God.